And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, welcome to the program. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the situation in South Africa, which is getting worse and worse. Now a news story about President Obama. In fact, I was just on Worldview Weekend with Brannon over at Worldview Weekend Radio, and we did a show talking about Obama giving a speech in South Africa in which he glorified Nelson Mandela. Mandela, who had been on the United States, his organization had been on the U.S. terror watch list from the time of Ronald Reagan through the Bush era. In fact, you had, here it is. This is from an article on thenewamerican.com. It says, in response to the wave of brutal terror against civilians of all races, President Ronald Reagan's administration put Mandela and his Soviet-controlled ANC, that's the African National Congress, on the official U.S. government terror list. President George H.W. Bush and President Bill Clinton allowed them to remain there quite appropriately. By contrast, Obama glorified Mandela with borderline blasphemous rhetoric, acting as if the former terror leader were some sort of messiah whose every teaching must be studied by humanity and implemented worldwide to achieve justice and equality. So this is the difference between Obama, of course, and other leaders who have come before, although we know that really the groundwork for Obamaism or the Obama-era socialism that has now really taken a giant leap forward since the 8 years of the Obama presidency, then with Bernie Sanders running for president. I feel like Bernie Sanders really ignited a wave of radical socialists and leftists to just come out of the woodwork, and whatever they were saying before about not fully admitting that they were socialists, now they have been emboldened to come out and just openly proclaim socialism. And of course, it's interesting, but the communists and the socialists, they've had to be very, very careful. Mandela, when he became president of South Africa back in 1994, and through the his entire time in power, he denied that he was a member of the Communist Party. And that later turned out to be untrue, that he was, in fact, a member of the Communist Party, but he kept it a secret. He didn't want to come right out and tell the world that he was a communist. They didn't want to come right out and admit that this was really the communist takeover of South Africa. They didn't want to admit to that, but that's exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. And as Brannon pointed out on his program, when he and I were talking about this, he's talking about the groundwork for this being laid in America, because what's happened in South Africa and what is currently happening in its own way is also happening in America. We're not as far down the line as they are. We're not as far along, but they're probably 20 or 30 years ahead of us. And that would be my estimate. It's hard to say exactly, but that would be my estimate. They're farther along, but they're trying to do the same thing here. You study what happened in Rhodesia. We've talked about it before. That was a Western European country, or a country built by Western European white people who were generally a Christian people. And they built a very successful country called Rhodesia. Today, it was taken over by communists with Robert Mugabe and became Zimbabwe. And its economy and everything just completely destroyed by Mugabe's communist leadership. And people have been subjected to all sorts of brutality, murder, torture, all kinds of atrocities that simply never happened during the time that the country was Rhodesia, when it was in the hands of Western European whites who were generally Christian. Same thing is true in South Africa. The situation in South Africa now is said to be far worse than it ever was under the apartheid. The apartheid was actually a much more reasonable system that worked better for everyone because it took into account the differences among the different people. You have a Christian population over here, and then you have the blacks, many of whom were pagans. They were cannibals. These are people with witch doctors and so on. Obviously, their culture was very, very different. And so it was necessary to protect everyone involved to maintain an element of separation there. But the communists were not really interested in any sort of racial equality, even though that's what they were arguing. What they wanted was to take over the country. So what they did is they flooded the country, which is a very, very successful country, South Africa, flooded the country with a lot of foreign blacks from other parts of Africa, and then demanded that they be given equal citizenship and an equal vote. They did the same thing in Rhodesia, which becomes Zimbabwe. This is what they're doing here in America, folks, by flooding our country with illegals and then demanding amnesty. You see, they're building up this massive illegal population here of people who want redistribution of wealth to them. They're bringing them in from the Islamic world, bringing them in from North Africa, bringing them in from Somalia, bringing them in from Mexico. All of these foreigners, they're bringing them in, and they're predicting that by the year 2030 or 2040, whatever it is, that finally, they say, whites will become a minority in their own country. And they're engineering this. They're looking forward to it. That's what they're planning. And then what they'll do, if they can get away with this, is have the non-white majority vote in such a way to basically turn the country into a communist or a socialist country, because then they'll have the majority. And that's effectively what's happened in South Africa. It's what happened in Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe. And then they just systematically destroy the country from there. So this is why these events are very important. It's very important that Obama, who I'd always seen as kind of an American version of Mandela, although not quite as bad, honestly, Mandela was a terrorist and he was a thug. And he was responsible for killing a lot of innocent people, both black and white. And he pled guilty to more than 150 counts of public violence and effectively terrorism. And it was said that if he had done in America what he did in South Africa, the American people would have demanded that he be put to death. They would have demanded it. But for whatever reason, the South African government chose to be lenient toward him and gave him a minimal sentence and allowed him to go free eventually, and then he becomes president of the country. But anyway, I wanted to play a clip here because there's a number of things going on in South Africa. You had Obama down there giving a speech, a very deceptive speech. I mean, if you go through his whole speech, he's down there talking about how politicians outright lie and things like that. The things that Obama said, I just couldn't believe it listening to it. I listened to it about a week and a half ago and could not believe the things he was saying, where he's talking about how Obama, or that politicians, he said, politicians just make things up, he said. They just lie about things. You can't even get them to tell the truth anymore. And of course, if you're an American, you're sitting here remembering Obama with, if you like your doctor, you'll keep your doctor. He's going to reduce your health care costs by $2,500 a year. He's going to cut the national debt in half. He ran for office saying he believed in traditional marriage, not gay marriage, etc. One thing after another, Obama told one lie after another. And then he has the audacity to get up and talk about how politicians, you know, those other politicians are so dishonest. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. But I think it's why Christians and patriots need to be tough. We need to be discerning. We need to recognize what's going on, and we need to take a stand for the truth and oppose this system of lies that is being fomented in our country and in other parts of the world. And where South Africa is concerned, we have to recognize, brethren, we should be praying for the brothers and sisters in South Africa. When we hear about them, we hear about them as the whites. If you study them, you will learn these are generally Christian people. These are Protestant Reformed Christians, most of them. And they have a very similar value system to our own. But now I want to show you what they are dealing with politically. All right, now this is a video clip from some of the really excellent work that has been done by Lauren Southern. Lauren Southern, who's an independent journalist, and she's been over there to South Africa, and she spent some time, and she interviews a woman, a black woman, who is with a group called Black First, Land First. But I'm going to let her introduce this, and then you hear from the representative of Black First, Land First. Listen.
But it seems their politics have strayed further from the Rainbow Nation mantra over the years, as their rhetoric more closely mirrors extremist groups like Black First, Land First, who proudly tout the line, land or death, by which they're referring to the death of white farmers.
Black people have been patient enough. We are of the view that we have to fight in order to attain freedom as the black majority in this country. And the fight has to be located in taking back the land and expropriating it back into the people, in seizing the means of production and expropriating everything, or rather redistributing everything equally. And a society that would embody a value system that puts black people first will have to be attained through confrontation, unfortunately, because our people have waited for so long, right? We've waited for so long and nothing is happening in terms of changing our lived experience. So it's very important to have a movement such as BLF who's going to say, we don't want your handovers. We don't want you to feel pity for us. We are coming for you and we are going to get everything that you owe. It's ours.
All right. So you heard what she said there. This is from a radical political group called Black First, Land First. And they literally, I mean, when Lauren Southern is describing this woman and their motto, which is land or death, they literally, the woman is wearing a T-shirt that says land or death on the back of it. And you heard what Lauren Southern said, that by this they mean land or the death of these white farmers. And then you heard what she said, what this this radical black political activist said, we are coming for you and we're going to get everything that you own. It's ours, she says. And of course, this has to do with the Marxist propaganda, the communist brainwashing that's gone on down there, where they have convinced many of the blacks that this land was stolen from them by the whites. Of course, they say, well, they stole it supposedly 400 odd years ago. And now this is the excuse, of course, for going in and trying to take it back. Now we're going to go to our commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how this really parallels. This is the favorite argument of the communists and the socialists around the world. You stole the land. Because that argument is happening right here in the United States. And we'll talk more about that when we come back, right after this.
Assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark. Unfold. fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family, because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now, Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today, we're talking about the situation in South Africa and how this parallels events happening here in the United States. President Obama went to South Africa here a short time ago and exalted Nelson Mandela as some great heroic figure. Of course, if you study Mandela, I mean, that's generally the view. We've got people in churches, we've got people across America who think Mandela was some kind of heroic figure. And it's simply because they do not know, they don't know the real Nelson Mandela. They know the propagandized version of Mandela that was engineered back in the 1980s and 90s. But that was before the internet, before independent media. And so the impression that many people have is still based upon that propaganda. And that's really what it is. It's propaganda. All right. Now, before we went to the break, I said when we came back, we're going to talk about parallel situations happening here in the United States. This whole idea of you stole the land. Now, when most people think of that, they think about the American Indians. They think, okay, America stole the land from the Indians, or rather the white English colonists supposedly stole the land from the Indians. Now, I've talked about this before. I've given presentations on it. It is provable that that's simply not what happened. Many of the early colonists sat down with the Indian chiefs, made deals with them, and purchased land according to whatever price the Indians wanted. That's how the early colonies began and were built up, etc. That is typically covered up or not discussed when people talk about this whole issue with the Indians. But the thing is, there's really not enough American Indians to use them as a significant adjutant. However, you have a second group. You have Mexico. And this is where you have a massive population south of the border. And these are the people that are coming in here by the hundreds of thousands, by the millions, ultimately. And the Mexican people are being agitated against America, and they're being told, America stole your land. and you have a right to get it back. If you go online and type this in, type in land stolen from Mexico by U.S. There's a number of articles. Here's one, quote, this is 2017, just last year. Mexico could demand its stolen land back from the U.S. New York Times, 2017, just last year. Opinion, will Mexico get half of its territory back? Question mark. OC Weekly, did the U.S. really steal California from Mexico? Did the U.S. really steal Texas and other Mexican territories? Okay, so then you've got another one. Senator says Mexico must reclaim land stolen by U.S. These are articles that have been published in the last year. Just in the last year, year and a half. There is a movement among, this is why many of the Mexicans, if you go online and you see these illegals, they are quite often very arrogant, very proud, and they're very presumptuous. And the reason why they have this attitude, this, hey, we'll come into your country if we want to, whether you like it or not. The reason they have that attitude is because they are being told, they're being indoctrinated, that America stole this land from them and set up this border that's not really a border, or it shouldn't be a border. And now they have a right to come here because all they're doing is reclaiming the land. It's why they have that saying where they say, well, we didn't cross the border crossed us. Okay, that's where that comes from. But this is what the Democrats, the leftists, the communists, the socialists in our country, they are fomenting this argument. And they're using this to promote the open borders philosophy and the idea that nobody's illegal and all of the Mexican illegals should be given amnesty. Because what they want to do is they want to do in America eventually what they did in Rhodesia and what they've done in South Africa. And that is build up a population of foreigners in our country that will outnumber the general population of the core population of Americans who actually believe in our Constitution, our system and freedom, etc., that will outnumber them, outnumber us, and then give them full citizenship and the right to vote so that they can basically vote the patriots of our country out of power. Because that's what they did to South Africa. That's what they've done to Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, etc. It's the same process. And of course, they use the same argument. You stole the land. Which you could go into any country, anywhere, and you could come up with an argument that the people who live there somehow or other took the land from somebody else. There's really no people anywhere. I mean, especially when you're talking about Mexico. Where did the Mexicans get their land from? Why are they speaking Spanish down there? Because their Spanish ancestors hundreds of years ago invaded that territory and stole it from the Aztec kingdom. That's why. That's not originally their land. That's land that they invaded and that they conquered. So why should they especially have a right to it? If you gain a land by conquest, you have to be willing to lose it by conquest. So what they're trying to do is very similar to the Palestinians dealing with Israel. They're trying to cry no fair. Well, the only claim that the Muslims have to the land of Israel is that they conquered it at some point in history. Of course, we believe the Bible. We believe that land belongs to the children of Israel in perpetuity. But nevertheless, they make this argument about how, well, it's not fair. They stole the land. They use the same argument over and over and over again. The argument they use in Rhodesia, South Africa, they use in Israel, they're using here in the United States. You stole the land. You don't have a right to this land. And so, therefore, we have a right to come in here and steal it, take it by force, use political manipulation, all this other kind of stuff. There's a lot of psychological warfare going on and a lot of deception. And taking it back to South Africa now, in South Africa, if you go online, there's a number of articles. I'm still trying to get to the bottom of it and figure it out. But there is a number of articles out there that tell us that they are now calling that the government in South Africa, the communist government in South Africa, is now calling not just for land confiscation, that they're going to confiscate the land from all the white farmers, but calling for gun confiscation, the confiscation of arms from the common people. And of course, that we all know, why do they confiscate arms from the common people? They confiscate arms usually right before a genocide or a Holocaust or a mass murder. And they've had people, you've got groups like the EFF with Julius Malema. You study Malema and his commentary. He's come right to the line without quite crossing it yet of calling for the outright slaughter of the whites in South Africa. Listen, here's a clip.
I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I'm saying to you, we've not called for the killing of white people, at least for now. I can't guarantee the future.
Yeah, but I mean, you'd understand somebody watching that, especially as it gets shared on Twitter, they freak out. It sounds like a genocidal call.
Cry babies.
All right, so you heard Malema. He says he's not calling for the outright killing of whites, at least not yet, he says. And then when the interviewer says, well, people are going to say this sounds like genocide, he just says, crybabies. The people who are complaining are just crybabies. This is what the Christians in South Africa are up against. And the situation is getting worse and worse with each passing day, every month. They seem to get closer to a full-blown civil war. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.